Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Meringue.
What's funny is the back actually looks pretty good. It's the front that really makes me action.
With Patrick Harris.
Boy, I'm stroking out today.
And Danny Meringue.
The pucker factor turns into suction.
The college football playoff is here. Four games for a chance at the quarterfinals.
You look at those two teams on paper, and they're almost equal in their schedule strength, their common opponents, the results against their common opponents. But the one metric we had to fall back on, again, was the head-to-head.
This is the firm of Harris and Meringue. First round week of the college football playoff is brought to you by video only on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, hour number, dudes. Thanks for being a part of our day. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go back and check that out. We had Tyson Alger on talking a little Oregon Ducks football. Get that wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with pregamify, as you can catch all the pregame and postgame action right here on Portland Sports Leader, leading up to your college football playoff game at Autzen. Get your podcasts wherever you can, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, over on the YouTubes. If you missed Jack Fitzpatrick from JMU's Twitter troll account, he was on with the Sunrise guys this morning. And if you missed any primetime yesterday, they were having a great conversation about the NBA Cup that made me giggle. You can check that out wherever you get your podcast, the Odyssey app, YouTube, fast forward, rewind, except for into the future, for that would be impossible. Coming up on this hour of the show, we will get into a little bowl chatter. We'll have Danny Cannell join us at 11:30 and Web Gems as well. A little college football heavy, but we'll start in the NFL as there was some breaking news this morning. And we already have our kind of Ducks situation lined up for the first hour. So apologies that it took a little late to get here. But the Miami Dolphins have announced that Tua Tagovailoa will not start this coming game, and maybe not for the rest of the year, and maybe not for the rest of his career. And that leads to the question of where does Miami go from here? I mean, there were reports that Stephen Ross, when they fired their GM, did not want to fire Mike McDaniel. He was concerned that McDaniel would turn this around and be a great coach, and they were letting a great coach walk out the door. Now, Mike McDaniel has taken them to the playoffs, which is something that they don't really do in Miami and haven't in Stephen Ross's tenure, I believe. It's only like a handful of times since 2009, and they haven't won a game since 2000.
Yeah. I think it was two appearances.
Two appearances. That's a rough, rough situation. Look, Tua is such a maligned quarterback. There are times when you see him and you can look at him and he can look really good. The athleticism is there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a lefty thing. I don't want to bang on lefties by any means, but
I mean, why not?
There's something about Tua that's never felt right. And then you watch his head bang off the turf a bunch of times, and it might be time to cut bait.
Well, I think that it was always the case. And when they gave him that deal, I was like, but why? Why? Yeah. Why are we doing this? Like, and it's the fear of the unknown. It's like, you know, they don't want to do that because, well, he's actually kind of good. But then now you're going to have to do this. And we've talked about this Dolphins team so many times this year in the sense of what they have and don't have. And, well, what they don't have is a lot. Like, a lot. I mean, Tyreek Hill is not something you want to have. Jaylen Waddle is fine. They just released Matthew Judon, who was a guy that signed with him in August, you know, and they traded away Jalen Phillips. It's just, this is a thing that needs to get torn. Like, I'll use my example of my team. The Raiders had to be torn down to the studs, and you had to get rid of everybody, and you had to completely start over. And they still suck, but there's a path forward now for them. Their draft situation looks at least doable now. Like, they have assets. They can, you know, they've got Ashton Jeanty. They've got Brock Bowers. They've got Max Crosby.
Geno Smith.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there are building blocks there. Now, they don't have a ton, but if you're asking me about whose future I want right now, the Raiders or the Dolphins, I hate my team because they have sucked worse than the Dolphins have over the last 25 years.
Yeah, and the Raiders.
And I'd rather take the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders are kind of lining up for the number one pick in the draft, and we'll see where they go with that. Yeah, I think it's tough. We talked about it at the trade deadline. It was like, what assets of this team do you want?
Yeah, like Jalen Waddle. Like, again,
good player.
But, like, could he swing another team or he goes there and is the number two or number three? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In Miami? What does it matter?
Yeah, and I wonder what Stephen Ross thinks about Mike McDaniel. Again, I mentioned that he didn't get fired because they were afraid of losing a good coach. And I wonder if Mike McDaniel is the guy for the rebuild. I would be shocked if he is. I think the writing is on the wall that he is now interviewing for other jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Of how can you handle this situation and how can it be done? With the contract situation, it's an unfortunate reality in the Super Bowl. I heard Soup talking about this last night on primetime, and it's just, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Because when you have a Tua, when you have a Kyler Murray, when you have a Trevor Lawrence, you're in this world of like,
is he good enough?
Do I go with it or do I start again?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody is so terrified of the starting again that they do the one thing that I always say is the worst place you can possibly be in the NFL, and that's mediocrity.
Yep.
And I think having quarterbacks like Tua, like Kyler Murray, and a little bit to an extent of Trevor Lawrence, and he's shown me a lot more glimpses than those two have by far. I would take him night and day over the other two guys, and I don't mean to lump him in, but I keep harping on this. He's my guy that I wanted to watch all year to see how does he respond. And this Jags team looks pretty good. And I think that's what happens. Tua gets you into a playoff and you start thinking, the possibilities. And the reality is that quarterbacks are just so expensive that you're almost forced to do it. And you get lucky if a Brock Purdy doesn't reset the market.
We were talking to somebody this past weekend, very ingrained in the game of football. And he said, you know what impacts change? Fear and ego.
Mm-hmm.
That is why change does not happen. And I think that's true, particularly in front offices across sports, because here's the thing. Let's say the Jags decided to move on from Trevor Lawrence this year and he goes to another team and he lives up to kind of what he is. And the expectation of being a number one guy and
the John Elway, Andrew
being
Luck.
Touchdown Jesus. Well, guess what that is now? That's an indictment on you, on your organization, your failure to build around him. Whether that's fair or not, that's how it's going to be viewed. Oh, they let this guy go. They're a bad organization. They're toxic. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't know what they had in-house. So the guys, when they think somebody has something, they hold on and they hold on and they hold on. And it becomes this sunk cost. And, you know, I heard the boys this morning talking about a potential trade that was thrown out there by Bleacher Report. And Brandon said something along the lines of, why would they include the Blazers' recent number 3 overall pick and Scoot Henderson in the trade? And there's this my old adage is, I don't care where you're drafted. I don't care what your stuff is. If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And I'm not saying that about Scoot. I'm just saying in general, like if you have
in that position,
if you have a potential or you have the potential to get somebody or to make your team better and you're giving up a guy that isn't as good, but he has quote unquote potential or because of his draft slotting, like again, Tua, Trevor, Kyler, they're all in that same boat. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of like what they are, their pedigree and all those things, the best front offices don't care about that. They don't care about that stuff. And it doesn't matter what you are, the billing. If you were somebody that is just not that guy, you cut bait. The Dolphins roster is littered with guys over the last 25 years that were about potential and pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
What was the Oregon edge rusher? Number 3 overall, Deion Jordan.
Oh yeah,
all the potential
can't
in the
miss.
World.
Huge athlete, like better than Kayvon Thibodeau, yeah. Maybe the best pass rusher in the history of Oregon, outside of Haloti, obviously
was nothing in the NFL.
Yeah,
and they held on to him, and it was like, It's not there, guys. And like, you just go down the list of guys that, that they've, and I'm not doing that to pick on Oregon. Just that was just a guy that, like, you want to talk about pedigree.
You see it in
like,
the NBA all the time. Zion, Ja, Trey,
yes,
fill in the blanks.
100%. Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, we invested this much. Then cut bait because it's a sunk cost at that point. And the longer you hold on to it, the worse it gets. And that has been Miami and to an extent the Raiders for the past 25 years.
Yeah. And I think sometimes teams are putting themselves behind the eight ball too because they're reacting and not
being
anticipating.
Proactive. Yeah.
They're not anticipating. Like the Minnesota Vikings is a great situation here, okay? They decided before the season even started. Now, he ended up playing a lot better than we thought. They decided before the end of the season Sam Darnold wasn't their guy. And decided to draft
proactive versus reactive.
Exactly. They were like, oh no, this guy's not good. We've got to go get somebody. And they got JJ McCarthy. And where would Minnesota be right now if they had Sam Darnold?
Probably 11 wins.
I mean, I think Seattle's a better roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think Minnesota's a better roster.
You think Minnesota Vikings are a better roster than the Seahawks?
Yes.
Oh, I'll disagree with you on that. But examples here, they put themselves in a place where they couldn't bring Sam back.
Mm-hmm.
No matter you want to talk about the ghosts in the playoffs,
10 toes down,
or just how good he was in the regular season, they couldn't bring him back because they invested a high draft pick. And I think that's too often teams put themselves in the situations that they're in. And I think the Miami Dolphins are exactly here. I mean, Could you make an argument that that Tua's career has not been great because there's been a lack of coaching, there's been a lack of personnel?
Or he's just not that good.
Or he's just not that good, yeah. But you could make the argument that the team around him has not been good.
No.
And there have been times where he has been good. So it's kind of rubber meets the road, chicken before egg sort of thing. Well, of what is your actual problem? Your actual problem in Miami is Stephen Ross. There's no doubt about that. That's your actual problem. But you still got to try. I mean, the Spanos family is not awesome, but the Chargers are trying to find ways to buck that trend.
Mm-hmm. And well, I think too, when it comes to trying to hang on to these guys, like Danny mentioned, your Kyler Murray, your Tua and the like, it's not just about where they were drafted and trying to hang on to that, but it's the financial aspect of it too, because
they already doubled down.
It's a lot bigger financial decision.
$54 million for Tua
than cutting a sixth round quarterback pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as Rufio says on the YouTube chat, cutting bait is the biggest, most impactful, most difficult decision to make for pro sports front offices. And he's right. Everyone's so scared to be wrong, they're not trying to be right.
And that's why I respect Minnesota. I disagree with them, but I respect it because they put, that's what I'm saying, they made a proactive decision of what they wanted to do. If I'm a fan or if I am on the other side, if I'm running a team, that's how I want to operate.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make decisive decisions.
The Packers took a quarterback when they had Brett Favre, a Hall of Famer.
And then they took a quarterback when they had Aaron Rodgers.
Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers because they were proactive. They were anticipatory. Like, these guys are going to lose it soon. Let's go find our guy. Maybe they wanted to do that the year before they got Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they wanted to do it the year after they got Love, but they identified those guys as, these are the type of guys we want. I mean, that's what Pittsburgh's lacking. Pittsburgh stumbled into Ben Roethlisberger and he became the prototypical Steelers quarterback outside of Terry Bradshaw, and now they can't find one because they built a mold and aren't looking for it again.
I think another thing too, when it comes to teams drafting these quarterbacks super high, is that, look, not everyone, and we know this, not every draft class is built the same. So for some reason, and I've never been able to figure out why, NFL front offices can't get past the fact that not every NFL quarterback draft class is the same. And so
There's always the top three guys.
Just because there's your top quarterback of that class doesn't mean he's the number one, number two, number three overall pick. And I think that's what a lot of teams, especially the bad ones, can't get over. They're like, we need a quarterback. We need one bad. This is the best guy this year. So let's go take him with number two.
Look at the 2023 quarterback draft. The quarterback draft. Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., you know, all these dudes, we don't know how they're all going to pan out. You know, we talk about Bo a lot on this show, and I'm a Bo believer, but is anybody with a pulse that doesn't screw up run that team the same way? I can hear that. I think Bo is doing a good job, mm-hmm. but I can listen to it because it's all about fit.
Yeah.
It's all about your personnel around you. It's all about your head coach. Sean Payton, Mike McDaniel. There's a big gap. There's a Grand Canyon-sized gap between coaching and those two dudes. McDaniel, brilliant future offensive mind. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton, tried and true Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The haves and the have-nots.
But it just sounds like, Sean Payton and Bo Nix are a good fit together, mm-hmm. at least so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike and Tua, not so much.
Yeah, you can always count on quarterbacks being a crazy conversation. And you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll slide into college football. We'll have a little chatter about the next few weeks or so and the excitement around it, and then we'll have Danny Cannell on around 11:30. That's Danny Morang. I'm Patrick Harris, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have Danny Cannell join us. That'll be fun to have him back on this show. College football guy. Chat a little Oregon Duckies, a little college football as well, and maybe he's got a solution for the bowl situation. But that's where I kind of wanted to have a fun little toss-around segment here. It's bowl season, guys. We're here. We're ready to go. I watched a game last night, Jacksonville State and Troy. First off, shout out for that game being at halftime with like 4 minutes left to go in the NBA Cup. Because then I basically had a night of sports. Like, I got to watch the NBA Cup final, which I was actually surprisingly very into. And then I got to slide over to watch some football. I saw a coach get a 15-yard personal foul called on him last night for Jacksonville State. And I was like, it's bowl season, baby. Get hyped.
Just means more.
It just means more. Tonight we got a couple. It's Old Dominion versus South Florida. That's 2:00 our time. I'm going to go pick up my kids, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch football.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Also tonight, Louisiana versus Delaware. I mean, dude.
That's doo-doo.
I mean, it's 8:30 in Alabama. Is Alabama Eastern time? Yeah, they got to be Eastern time. Got to be Eastern time. That's a late
that's
game.
That's a late kick.
That's a late game.
For that doo-doo also.
Also, so we can just
is
get
that Cam Cleland?
No, that's
Anthony
Q.
Newman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was Cam Cleland.
Oh, that's good old Anthony Newman. Yeah, Q.
I love Q. Q's the GOAT.
No, the idea that you need to make sure you have that window for 5:30 on the West Coast for those two teams?
It's shocking.
Brother.
It's shocking. I mean, on Friday, we have an 11 a.m. game, Eastern.
Yeah.
Like, that game will end when we come on the air.
Great.
I'm still mad about the famous Idaho Potato Bowl being at 11 a.m.
Why? You're not doing anything.
Because I want to do something.
What are you going to do then?
Throw a party.
Nothing.
I'm going to throw a party, and all my friends are not going to come. You're not invited. You're not invited. Nobody at the station's invited.
You're just bitching just a bitch.
I'm going to have a party by myself.
Why? I said, you better not.
Why?
You better not.
Why do you not like this?
Because I don't like to drink that early.
You don't. Here's something crazy. You don't have to.
It is my day off.
You both might have problems.
When it's your day off and it's your team and it's the bowl game.
Coffee exists.
It's Friday.
Coffee
you ain't
sucks.
Got
else
to do. You ain't got no job.
Stop like security of the world, Craig.
Exactly.
That's right, Craig.
Exactly.
So, I used to hate coffee, like with a fiery passion of a
I
thousand
still do.
Suns. Okay.
It's gross.
Are these lights flickering? Am I having a stroke again?
I didn't see them flickering this time.
Okay, I'm having a stroke.
Do you smell the burnt toast?
Dude, I just looked up at the lights and now everything's blurry.
Thanks, dude.
Oh, it's my fault you stared directly into the sun.
Yeah, you were like, are the lights flickering? And I was like, I don't know. Let me look.
Well, we still got to make it 90 more minutes here, guys, okay?
Come on now. But when I was overseas, when I run out of chew, I'd use coffee grinds. And so I just started hating coffee so much, but I quit
drinking. You ran out of chew, you just gnawed on coffee grounds?
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Yeah, that's dog. Weird. I was in Afghanistan in the mountains.
Yeah, I'm going to quit before I do that.
You won't. I wasn't the only one who did it. It happens. But I just had this just disgusting relationship with coffee. But I gave up the energy drinks, and I started drinking these coffee energy drinks. And dare I say I'm coming back around?
To the cafe?
To the coffee?
In a weird way.
I just hate just the generic overall flavor of coffee. It's just gross. And it reminds me of when I was a kid in elementary school and my teacher would come and bend over, you know, and check your homework and stuff. And all you smell is the stale coffee breath.
Mm. Well, yeah, old people coffee, they don't got it figured out. I'm curious what this generation is like when they're older.
Look, man, I keep the Altoids in the car for the coffee breath now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. A little mint on top of the coffee.
I had a cup of coffee this morning. Also, some tea.
I saw you two-fisting this morning.
Double fisting this morning. Why? I had to get the caffeine in me.
Why were you going with both?
Because I'm trying to make sure, Danny, that I don't call out tomorrow or Friday. Okay.
Well, I mean, both tea and coffee have caffeine.
Well, but the voice was starting to go. That's what the tea was for.
Yeah, and the tea is non-caffeinated tea.
Why?
Because it's medicinal and not caffeinated.
Medicinal, huh?
Yeah. Throat coat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Boss man gave it to me. He's looking out for me.
Do you not keep it in your bag?
No, I have some at home and I felt totally fine walking out the door today. So I didn't think about it.
I always keep a couple of the throat coat teas in the bag and then, the lozenges. Like those things are lifesavers.
Yeah. See, in my bag, it's just the Mio energy squeeze and then my anxiety pills.
I have a computer, headphones and a water bottle and the anxiety pills. That's my guy, Jeff Rust.
My bag has all the things in it, man.
I know you come in with like six bags.
Well, there's my regular bag that I take everywhere. Then there's my workout bag. And then on some days, there's the lunch bag.
All right, we come back. Let's bring Danny Cannell on. We'll talk a little college football. We'll chat Oregon Ducks, the college football playoff, and maybe he's got solutions for the future of college football. But first, we'll toss it over to Rusty with sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, he's kind enough to join us again here on the show. Friend of the show, Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell is brought to you courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football playoff props. Danny, thank you for joining us again. I know you're a busy man. How is the Cannell household getting ready for Christmas? Are we there or are we a little stressed?
Well, it's been a little bit of a rocky road. Like I've got 18, 17, and 13 in my house, all girls. So I get these, like the older they've gotten, the longer their Christmas lists have been giving. Mm. And I feel like we should do like Secret Santa when there should be a budget, because they're asking for stuff that is probably 10x of what we're going to spend on them. And I keep telling them, I'm like, you guys have to realize you're not getting everything. And they're like, oh, we know. We're just going to put it all just in case. And I'm like, no, there is no just in case. Like, pick one or two, and that's it. So it's been a little bit bumpy. I'm trying to set expectations so that it's a successful Christmas.
Closed mouths don't get fed, Danny.
Yeah, good luck to that.
That's right. I guess that is true.
let's get into this right now. The betting odds for the college football playoff championship have Ohio State on top. And Danny, I'm curious your thoughts on that. Is it that we still don't believe in the Indiana brand? Because myself and my co-host Danny, we both believe that Indiana might be the best team in the nation, but the betting odds aren't necessarily saying that. Is it a brand thing, or do we believe that football-wise?
No, I think we believe that football-wise. And I don't love the way this works out, and I don't like using point spreads or power rankings to say who's the best team in college football, because currently, right now, if the season ended today, it would unequivocally be Indiana. But we all know it doesn't, and they have to go through another gauntlet to get to that national title. So I was in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game, and I actually liked Indiana going into that game for a couple of reasons. One, I think people were sleeping on Indiana. I still think, to your effect, the brand, the impact it has, people don't think they're as good as they are. And then two, I thought it meant more to them. Like, there was something to Ohio State. What's at stake? Like, does it matter for them to win a Big Ten championship? And Ryan Day said, yes, we want to win our first conference championship since, 2020. But for Indiana, that's a place they'd never been before. The number one team in the country with a Big Ten championship, undefeated regular season. It just felt like it meant more. So then when I watched the game unfold, I thought you did see two teams that were very evenly matched. And I would say that you still have more NFL talent on Ohio State. And I thought Ohio State played one of their worst games of the year, especially on the offensive line. All that being said, they missed a chip shot that would have tied up the game with a few minutes in the fourth quarter, and they still could have won. So I just, if they have to go again, I probably would switch and pick Ohio State. Not to mention, after the game, Indiana, one of their best defensive contributors, Stephen Daly, is a defensive lineman, 5.5 sacks, led the team in tackles for loss. He gets hurt for the rest of the playoffs. He's out. And that's like a horrible, I hate seeing an injury impact them, but I do wonder about Indiana's depth in a run like this where they have to win, three games consecutively. How is that going to impact them? So I still think Ohio State is the right favorite for this tournament.
Daniel, let's pivot to the local team here. We're obviously the home of the Oregon Ducks. They are 15-2 on the odds that you guys have at betonline.ag. That puts them fourth. They're tied with Texas Tech, who, if Oregon takes care of JMU, they will take on in round two. What is it about this Oregon team that you look at and either excites you or still leaves you with a question of whether or not that they can not only move past JMU, but move past Texas Tech and get into the semifinal and possibly a championship game?
So you guys don't know this. I was doing some stuff for CBS Sports on selection, like when the selection's coming out. So we get the teams, we get the 12 teams, and within 5 minutes, my producer goes, hey, we need a bracket. Bracket, bracket, bracket. They all want a bracket. So I didn't get a lot of time to break it down, but when I went through the brackets, I put Oregon as the national champion. So I am bullish on Oregon. In being a team, I think sometimes you look for similar storylines, and it doesn't mean it could happen, but I do think Oregon is kind of flying under the radar the same way that Ohio State was last year. They lost that game against Indiana, and it was not a great performance, and you got pushed around. But since then, I've loved the way they bounced back, and I think beating Iowa on the road the way they did was massive for Dante Moore. To make the throw he did to Benson, like one of the best throws of the entire season, was awesome. Beating USC, who I still think is a really good team, not just beating them, but dominating them, bouncing back after they gave up a couple scores in the first quarter, and then going on the road and beating a good Washington team. I think this Oregon team is getting right, getting healthier at the right time. And I think every time I talk to Dan Lanning, I think it just leaves a bad taste in his mouth the way they exited last year's playoff in the Rose Bowl. So I think they're really well coached, and I know there's distraction with, both coordinators going on to get other jobs, but I'm a huge Dante Moore fan. He reminds me a ton of Jordan Love. I think he's a really talented quarterback. They can run the football, and their defense is overlooked, and I think their path is actually pretty good. We know they're heavy favorites. They should advance against James Madison. I'm not a big believer in Texas Tech that they're as good as people think they are. I don't think their schedule was that tough. Indiana, who they would probably play then to get to the championship game. I just told you, they lost one of their best defensive players. I think Oregon could beat them in a rematch, similar to what you saw Oregon-Ohio State last year. and then they're in the title. So I just gave you the path. I am bullish on Oregon. I think they're coming together at the right time.
Danny, kind of along in that same vein, if it's not Oregon, you've got Miami, A&M, Bama, as far as odds-wise, they're all pretty tight. But are there any other teams in the first-round bracket you go, hey, if they get right, this could be a team that could be in the national title game? If Marcel Reed goes out there and balls out, can they do it? Can Trinidad Chambliss, you know, fill the gap for Lane Kiffin and him not being there? Is there anybody else that you're looking at, like possibly at Arizona State last year, where, you know, they had the opportunity against Texas to maybe, you know, really surprise some people?
So I think there's four teams that I don't have to talk myself into winning it, like Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon from the Big Ten, and Georgia from the SEC. Like, I feel really good if you said, hey, you have to place a bet on, I'd be like, yeah, I'll place a bet on one of those four. Then there's probably two more that I feel like I have to talk myself into, but I could see it. One of those is Miami, and the other is Texas A&M. Those are the two teams, and they're playing against each other. That's why it's my favorite game of the weekend, because I do think at their best, and if they can get, and they've been a little bit bumpy, right? Both of them have had their moments, but if they can string together a hot run, I think Miami or Texas A&M are the other teams that I believe. I don't think Alabama, Oklahoma, I don't think they can do it. I told you I'm not a believer in Texas Tech's offense. Ole Miss, I think they've got too much to overcome. And then we've got the group of five teams. But Miami's a team that I saw in person a couple times this year. They've got outstanding offensive and defensive line play. They've got a couple guys coming off the edge, and Hakeem Mesidor and Reuben Bain, who's probably going to be a first-round pick. And then it comes down to Carson Beck. And so, and then on the flip side, Texas A&M is very similar. Marcel Reed, if you guys remember, they played South Carolina. They were down 30-3. It was ugly. He had the worst half of football you've ever seen this year by any quarterback. It was awful. Mm-hmm. And then he followed it up in the second half, maybe the best second half you've seen of anybody. And at his best, he is awesome. But he's been streaky, much like Carson Beck. But I do think the team that wins this game could use it as a confidence boost, kind of gain some momentum to go into a second-round matchup where they could potentially pull off an upset against Ohio State. Now, they'll be a probably a touchdown underdog against Ohio State, but I do think one of those teams could have the makeup to get that done.
He's Danny Cannell, joins us courtesy of Bet Online. That's a big praise from you, coming from a Florida State guy telling me Miami might go for a distance. So I appreciate
that.
It's
hard. It hurts me too.
I want to slide over. You mentioned one of the games that you don't believe in either of these teams, and I'm 100% there with you. Oklahoma, Alabama does absolutely nothing for me. I already watched this game. It was a struggle to watch from the beginning. I know Mateer's hand situation is weird, and Alabama can't run the ball. But outside of the game, it's the Kalen DeBoer news. You're so invested in this sport and so much closer than we are. We're the other side of the country. Is there real smoke to the idea that not necessarily the Michigan job, but that Alabama is not a place for DeBoer? And if so, is it a place for anyone?
It's a great question. And it's funny how all this started. So it goes back to Penn State's job. There was a local reporter for Penn State who put out a report, and it gained some traction, where he said Kalen DeBoer is the number one target for Penn State. And everybody runs with it. And they're like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. And they start looking at it, and they're like, ooh, if Alabama misses the playoffs, boy, they would love to get rid of him and kick him aside. And then Penn State would be a perfect fit for him. Well, there's one small problem with that. Like, no one asked Kalen DeBoer about that. And by the way, Alabama made the college football playoff. Like, they did. Like, a lot of people thought if they lost to Auburn, that was going to be it. And maybe it would have been. And Alabama would have been brokering the deal to Penn State. But it didn't. So it kind of started there. And then, obviously, Penn State brought in Matt Campbell from Iowa State. They found their coach. So that was kind of put to bed. Well, then we see this surprise, you know, issue that crops up in Michigan with Sharon Moore getting fired. And it's like the same people. To me, it's a little bit lazy, because you're just, oh, who would be a good hire for Michigan? And we all agree Kalen DeBoer would be great. And then we talk ourselves back into, well, if he loses to Oklahoma, they're going to be upset and they send him packing. Yeah, it would make a ton of sense, but I don't think there's a ton of validity to it. Kalen DeBoer did put out a statement, and he said, hey, I have no interest in this, which I might believe. Now, all that being said, circumstances can change. So this is where it gets into the talking yourself into it. If they get beat bad by Oklahoma, maybe Kalen DeBoer comes home and he's got people for sale signs in front of his house, and he's getting booed everywhere he goes. Maybe he does reevaluate and says, you know what? I'd go to Michigan in a heartbeat, and they'll pay me a bunch of money to do so. But I really don't think there's too much validity to it at this point in time. Granted, it's college football. It's wonky. It's wild. It could change in a heartbeat. But I think a lot of this has just been speculation driven by the media.
All right, Danny, we'll get you out of here on this one. What are some of your favorite bets going into the CFP this week and kind of throughout?
I love the under in that Alabama-Oklahoma game. I think it's 40.5. It's just, I think that game is going to be gross. I mean, I think it's going to feel like a, you know, like a mid-tier as like regular season game. I do like both the favorites against the group of five. So I like Oregon against James Madison. I do like Ole Miss versus Tulane. You know, even with the big numbers, the only thing that makes me curious.
Do you need the hook of that Oregon-JMU game? Because that's the one that I'm looking at. Because we've been sitting here talking about how 21 just seems – it's super easy to see 31-10. And I'm like, you give me 20.5, I'm in. But you give me a 21, I'm looking at it like, I don't like that number.
You know what I probably like the best? And this gets a little bit more exotic. If you find a first half number, because I do think Oregon should be able to control the line of scrimmage. And then what I always worry about in a game like this, and health has been such a priority for Oregon – let's say it's the fourth quarter, start of the fourth quarter, and they're up 21. And they're like, you know what? We've got a comfortable lead. Let us get some of our starters out. And then, you know, they don't need any style points, so they're not there. But I just think Oregon and Ole Miss are in different classes than these group of five teams. So I would not sweat it. I could see them winning by 31. Like, you know, like I just feel like these are going to be pretty comfortable wins. I think it's going to be a shock to the system for JMU. What kind of makes me nervous is it's never that easy, right? Like and everyone's crapping on the group of five. They don't belong. Like, what if we get one of these games upset? I don't think it happens, but it would be college football if it did. But I'm not worried about it. As long as Oregon like plays the way they're capable of, it would be a shock to me if like Dante Moore throws two interceptions. And like that to me is the recipe for a close game. I don't think that happens. I think they'll game plan and they'll be fine. So I'm not worried about the hook.
Well, you got a lot of fans in this neck of the woods taking Oregon to go all the way, Danny. Thank you for joining us. He's Danny Cannell of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff game and champion lines along with a plethora of college football playoff props. Danny, have a wonderful holiday. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great holiday as well and enjoy the playoffs.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. That is Danny Cannell, courtesy of Bet Online.
I love when he comes on.
He's a great dude. Awesome. He's really fun. I always love his work on TV. I loved his work on radio. Danny's
good dude,
a really...
despite being from Florida State.
I almost went to Florida State for grad school. Mm. So there's like this little weird thing inside of me that's like, hey, I got no problem with Florida State.
And of course, shout out our guy Jimmy Foy. So
yes,
with Danny.
Yes. I was never the biggest Bobby Bowden guy. I think it was just like as a kid watching the old dude sort of thing.
I was the opposite. I loved Miami and Florida State. Oh, and yeah. I know down there you can't do that. But like growing up, I've told you this. Mm-hmm. Doak is one of like my bucket list places to go to in college football.
And I don't even think it's that I didn't like Bowden or Florida State or Miami. It's just, dude, I was born and raised Pac-10.
Yeah.
Like everybody else was not as good as us. Mm. You know, we felt that and we looked forward to whoop the Big Ten every year. That's my childhood. So a big shout out to Danny Cannell for coming on the show. Maybe we'll circle back around when we get semifinals if Oregon continues to advance. But you heard it right here. He likes Oregon to go all the way, and I know that's going to make a lot of you happy, including you, Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Your team going all the way. When we come back, it's everybody's favorite Web Gems, 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Web Gems, everybody's favorite. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the Big Nooner, we'll have a little Blazer conversation. A couple players, their stats versus perception. As Danny's got one and I've got another. It'll be a fun conversation there. Plus, NBA Cup final action was last night. Sticking your thumbs in places they don't belong.
Thumbs and bums.
And then we'll have a little conversation about this wide receiver situation for an NFL team. And then closing arguments to send you on your way. But Web Gems brought to you by something Danny kind of was talking to me about when we were on location in Baltimore once Mendoza won the Heisman, about the last kind of Heisman Trophy winners and some nominees
being Pac-12 guys.
It's dominated.
Which then I stumbled across, because, you know, your phone's always listening to you. I found a list of quarterbacks from the Pac-12's final season in 2023. These are what's going on. Caleb Williams was at USC. He was the number one overall pick, starts in the NFL on a division-leading team, and won the Heisman. Michael Penix Jr. from UW, number eight overall, a Heisman finalist, also a starter, when healthy, for an NFL team. Bo Nix was at Oregon, the number 12 overall pick, a starter on the, probably the one seed in the AFC, a Heisman finalist. Cam Ward, Washington State University, number one overall pick, NFL starter, also a Heisman finalist. Fernando Mendoza at Cal, Heisman winner, likely first round pick, if not overall number one, and the Davey O'Brien winner, AP All-American, you got it. Dante Moore was at UCLA for your Oregon Ducks. We'll see what they do. The backup for Cam Ward was John Mateer, who could go in the first round, quarterback at playoff-bound Oklahoma. And the last one, the quarterback at Colorado, Shedeur Sanders, who's technically an NFL starter. The top comment...
For how much longer?
The top comment on this is, let's see if it's still there. Yeah.
That's like saying I'm technically a journalist.
The top comment on this story is almost like it was a good conference. It was a good conference.
Yeah.
Quarterback you, dude. Pac-12 was quarterback central. Quarterback central.
I mean, we talked about this, and I think it's okay to say this. We talked about this with Pernetti, and he was like,
yeah,
it was, and it sucks to see what happened.
Yeah, and it was kind of identity, you know, like the Big Ten. You know, I preach all the time about how I grew up. Like, I can't wait for January 1. January 1st, I, you know what I do in the afternoon?
Rose Bowl it up.
I sit down on my fat ass, make some food, and I watch the Rose Bowl, and I don't care who's in it, and I root against the Big 12, Big 10 team that's in it. Unfortunately, it'll be Indiana this year, but that's where I will take off my sports journalist glasses, as Rusty calls them, and root against Indiana, because I don't care who they're playing. When I was a kid, like, you don't root for no Big 10 team in the Rose Bowl, because that's the history. And they their identity is run the football, line play, you know, be aggressive, be stout, and be angry. And the Pac-12 always had that as well with quarterback play and making things look sexy. Never really high-end defenses. Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, like the list goes on of Pac-12 quarterbacks. Drew Bledsoe, you know, like for my guy. The Pac-12 list goes on and on and on. Warren Moon came out of the Pac-12. You know, Troy Aikman came out of the Pac-10. You know,
quarterbacks and wide receivers. That's what came out of the Pac-10 and Pac-12. But just go down. Just throw me the damn ball, Keyshawn Johnson.
Like, I know.
Just go down the list. And I know Ohio State's wide receiver, you and LSU, has had just a bevy of dudes. Go look at USC and Washington over the last 20 years and the wide receivers they've churned out. It's a pretty good list.
If I'm already like this at 40 about the Pac-10, Pac-12, what am I going to be like at 70? I'm going to be nauseated.
Bold of you to assume that you make it to 70.
That is a bold. That is a bold. I'm putting this all on future Patrick's shoulders.
Brother,
it's all on him to do this.
From the time I think I was about 17, I've always said, if I make it to 60, I did good.
Yeah. I'm being told Andrew Luck, which reminds me.
Wait till you get to almost 50 and be like, ooh, I want to push that out a little bit further.
A reminder of Pac-10, Pac-12 quarterbacks. I'm being told Andrew Luck, which reminds me, John Elway.
Yeah.
Like, we can keep going here. Keep going here. The throwing Samoa Troy Jack Aikman. Thompson. Yeah. I did say that.
I did
say
I'm
Troy.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
My bad.
It's pretty great.
Todd Marinovich.
Oh, yeah. Sam Darnold.
I mean, USC, again, most of those quarterbacks didn't amount to much.
Kyle Bowler, Jared Goff.
You did have your Carson Palmer there.
Oh, no, Carson's Jared easily Goff. the best. But, I mean, you went from Carson to Leinart. You had Darnold. You had Barkley, Booty.
And then you had Booty.
Yeah, but, again, Sanchez, like, you just go down the list of guys.
You know who's not on this list from 2023 because he was at LSU and won a Heisman? That'd be Jaden Daniels.
Yes. Yeah.
Boom, roasted.
That's what I mean. Like, everybody talks about, oh, it's offense first. Like, yeah, dog.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We have
throw that
sunshine. We throw that ball around the park.
Hell yeah, man. All right, the Big Nooner is next. We'll have a Blazer conversation. Stick with us. One more to go. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.